You got your Bibles, open up to John chapter 14, and we'll be starting in verse 15 through 26. And then I know how I do, just kind of dip here and there in different scriptures and stuff. But it says, Jesus says this, is Jesus talking, "If you love me, obey my commandments." He's talking to his disciples, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." You know, Jesus don't want people to just say it with their lips. He wants their heart, he wants their actions to line up with what they're saying. You know, he had talked about, "They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." He says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." This is for every person that calls himself a believer. Every person. If you love Jesus, you will obey the commandments that he has given. Your actions will always speak louder than your words. Because we can say that. We know that people can just say whatever and then do whatever. God is looking for your obedience. Not the tears, not the feelings, not the emotions. He gave you those emotions, but it's never to govern your faith. Faith does not work by your emotions. It works through love. Faith is expressing itself through love. Obedience will always be greater than the things that you try to sacrifice to God. You'll hear people say time and time again, I've heard it, and I've even said it myself, you know, there's no retirement in the Bible. But you know what was in the Bible? True persecution. You know how they retired? They got killed. Because they chose to live a godly life, they chose to live it out for Jesus, and they didn't back down from the truth. And when you stick with the truth, people aren't going to like it. They will literally set up laws to establish to come against the truth that is coming out of your heart, that is coming out of your mouth, because they don't want you to speak the truth. And I think even in this society, we've gotten to the place to where people will say, "No, be okay with not telling your side of the story. Be okay with not saying anything." See, that's what the enemy wants. The enemy doesn't want you to tell your testimony, but we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Sometimes people don't want you to tell your side of the story because they've already sided with the story. And then they chose to tell their side and to stick with their side. They don't want the truth to come out because then they're going to have to repent and realize they went with the wrong story. But he says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Obedience will always be greater than sacrifice. But there's no retirement. No, there's no retirement, but there is obedience. So if the Lord tells a person to sit down, sit, ubu, sit. Good dog. Y'all remember that back in the, come on. Some of the commandments that Jesus talks about says, letting your light shine before men so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And even if they take what you do and make it out to be evil, he tells us not to grow weary in doing good. There'll be people, you go out and you could be the good Samaritan and they'll make it out to be as if you're doing something so evil, so wrong. Don't grow weary in doing that. Your works are good because you believe in Jesus. That's flowing out of you. Don't grow weary in that. If you love me, obey my commandments. If you belong to Jesus, your works should be good. If you belong to the devil, your works will be devilish. It'll be cantankerous. Basically, to sum up all those commandments, love God and love people. We love God, we love people. And that goes for everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ. We love God, we love people. When I preach, I'm preaching on this section here, you walk in love with them. This section here, you walk in love with them. So you shouldn't be plotting against each other. You shouldn't be causing any harm towards one another. You shouldn't be scheming against each other. You shouldn't be in competition with one another. Listen, I love competition more so than the next guy. In sports. But in life, I'm here to dominate. And when you dominate, you're bringing everybody along the journey with you. When you're in competitive, you just only be the sole, you want to be the sole winner. I'm outlast you, I'm outlast you, I'm outlast you. That's not what it's about. That's not what the kingdom is about. It's about dominating everybody, dominating the enemy, keeping him under your feet. Amen? So when we talk about love, you walk in love with them. in spite of what they do. In spite of what they do, you walk in love with them. But I'm going to correct that. If they're being nasty to you, I'm going to correct that. God will correct that. Don't ever think he won't. Because if you're walking out of love with them, you're being disobedient to his word. And the whole purpose of rebuke and correct and training and teaching is so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. People could have said, well, I don't like correction. They try to correct me. What's wrong with correction? Correction is a beautiful thing. Correction becomes pretty nasty when there's control involved behind it, when there's a lot of manipulation. It wasn't for correction's sake. It was for control's sake. But he says, if you obey me, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Verse 16, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. An advocate is the Holy Spirit. He's your defender. He is your counselor. He is your comforter. I don't know about you, but I get comfortable being in the presence of God. It's not an uncomfortable thing for me. I'm not at discomfort when I'm in the presence of God. Some people make it, hey, man, the only way you can grow is to be uncomfortable. That's not true. Because you can learn a lot sitting in the presence of God. You've ever read a book, applied what was said in the book, and then grew from that? Has anyone ever done that before? Did you have to have somebody in the face go, I'm here to stop you. I'm here to make you uncomfortable. No. That's Satan. That's the devil. That's the enemy. God doesn't do that. People of God don't do that. They don't do that. We don't operate that way. We don't act that way. This is why you'll be in disobedience doing that to someone else. If you're going to challenge people, challenge them to live a godly life. Challenge them to live their faith out for Jesus. Challenge them to be bold in sharing their faith. And I guarantee you, you're going to get all the pushback that you want. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, an advocate who will never leave you, the comforter who will never leave you. You have access to the Holy Spirit every single day of your life. And he is a person in the Godhead. Not just a spirit, he. You will see it in here. What's the next verse in that? It says, he, who? Is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Man, there's a lot of hymns in there. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The Holy Spirit, God, is the God of truth. In Psalm 31:5, it says, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. In Titus 1:2, it talks about in hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. He is the God of truth. Jesus is the truth. The law that was given to Moses, but grace and truth came from Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is truth. In John 15:26, it says, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And in John 16:13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. God is about truth. He's not about lies. He's not a man that he should lie. He is about truth. He is about truth. Jesus is about truth. The Holy Spirit is about truth. It is impossible for any person on the face of this planet to continue to live a lie and then still have a clear conscience. You can't have a clear conscience if you call yourself a believer. Because God is not going to rest with the fact that you're living a lie. The Holy Spirit is about truth. You cannot have a clear conscience. Some people might have spiritual dyslexia, and it might be a seared conscience more so than a clear conscience. Because if you're living a lie, you're not living in truth. Because the Holy Spirit is about truth. That goes over well, huh? Think about it. God wants you living in truth. If you continue in his word, you are his disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See? The truth will make you free. A lie will not make you free. A lie will keep you in bondage. And if you have a clear conscience on a lie, that means you've been serving the devil. You've accepted that. You are, if you've been living a lie, based upon what your friends may have told you, said about you, and what the enemy might be planting in your mind, don't live that lie. Live out what the word of God says about you. The enemy will lie to you all the time. You're no good. Nobody listens to you. Your kids won't even listen to you. People at your job don't even listen to you. You don't have any kind of influence. You really a child of God after what you said 2 years ago? I still remember. You got to ignore that. You say what God says about you. You speak what God has spoken about you. You listen to his voice. He says, if you obey my commandments, if you love me, you will obey. Jesus says, if you continue in his word, the Holy Spirit will keep it 100 with you. Not little white lies, not embellishment, straight truth. So, when you're free, even when you're free, that'll make it look like as if you're still in bondage, if you're still living a lie. He don't want you living a lie. He wants you free of that thing. Whatever's keeping you in bondage, whatever's keeping you bound, he wants you free. Because he's already set you free. He's already set you free. Start walking in that. Stay on focus with God so that you don't have to be a friend of the world. Continue to pray for those that persecute and bless those that curse you. In verse 18, it says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, people use this passage in scripture a lot, and or this passage and other passages in the book of James that talks about true religion is taking care of the orphans and the widows. And the reason why some people use that is to keep you from operating in the anointing, but keep you from speaking out against other people or against the enemy and against the devil and stuff. I've had it used against me to try to stop me from operating in anointing and praying for people. Imagine that. Other believers trying to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Crazy. Why? Competition. And yet, they weren't caring for the orphans and widows. Well, true religion is about caring about the orphans and the widows. Okay, when was the last time you opened up an orphanage? What widows are you helping? They're not really caring for them. They're taking advantage of them. So when people use certain scriptures to try to keep you from operating in what God has called you to do, especially the one where it says many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. A lot of people like to use that. But here's the thing. You can rest in that. They didn't know Jesus. You know Jesus. And he says, the works that I do shall you do, and you will do even greater works because I go to the Father. You know Jesus. So when people use those types of scriptures to try to keep you from praying for people, speaking life over them, comforting them, being led by the Spirit of God, never allow that scripture to get you out of confidence with the Lord. They're in competition. They can't operate in that the way you do. So when God is doing extraordinary things through you, never allow people to use certain scriptures out of context. In verse 19, soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. After the resurrection, Jesus, he revealed himself to the world. He didn't reveal himself to the world, but he did reveal himself to his disciples and to those who believed in him. Can you imagine all the works that he had done? The message that he preached, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the miracles that he had done, still, not everyone believed. It'll be that way with you too. Don't try to beat yourself up over it. That's, they did it to Jesus. You know, he had appeared to over 500 after the fact, after the resurrection, but only 120 stayed to have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to be endued with power. 380 said, nah, I'm good. And you're beating yourself up over one person? Over one person that won't repent? Don't do that. Your responsibility is to preach the word. Share the gospel. You don't want them going to hell, neither does God. But don't beat yourself up over it. You can pray for them. You can cry over them. You can pour your heart out to them. But don't beat yourself up. Can you imagine the Savior of this world came to save some of these people, came to save the world, and yet some still rejected while he was walking here on this planet? It's crazy. Soon the world would no longer see me, but you will see me since I live. You also will live. Jesus said this about himself. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You will die physically, but eternally you will live forever. Everybody has a checkout date. If Jesus should tarry another 100 years, you will see death. But you will continue on living if you know Jesus and be with him. That's a beautiful thing. Why wouldn't anyone want that in their life? You win. Can you imagine Adam still being alive today, seeing the result of what he had done when he was in paradise, when he was living, when the world was just really, really good? At a certain point, and to be still be alive today and not be able to die. Man, every day reliving that out. He doesn't have to do that. But it would also see the redemption of what Jesus had done for him. Be like, yeah, let's go. Verse 20 says, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You are going to come to the full knowledge of what unity is. Most people want unity, but demonic people want chaos. They want trouble. They like to stir things up for themselves, and it has nothing to do with the kingdom. Very, very cantankerous, very contentious, very malicious. They like putting people up against one another and sitting back. I said, this is just for ministers. I said, thank God we don't do this here. I said, but this is for just ministers out there in the world that may have a look at this message. When you start preaching on something else that somebody else gave you, and then you start going at an individual you don't even know, you might be caught up in contention there. Somebody sowed some seeds of discord. You should be talking about what you know, not what you heard. And I know a lot of people like to use that Paul and that hearsay stuff, and everybody try to make themselves out to be an apostle. Paul wrote a letter. He didn't preach it on his platform. And he addressed it to the church. And then you get ministers that will get on their platform and talk about a situation they have no clue on, and they get one side of the story. And then they say, you can't say anything. You don't have a right to say. You mean to tell me you don't have a right to say something in your own situation? You know, even in the most evil council, when Jesus was arrested in the garden and he was brought before the council, they went out and found two witnesses that would actually lie on him. Then they said that he said that he was going to destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Even with the wickedness of that council, they knew they were going to crucify him. They knew that what they were going to do. They still asked him, you got anything to say about this? So he could have gave a rebuttal. In the most wicked, I said, and even in pulpits across this nation, people won't even give others that opportunity. They won't cross-examine. They'll just get up and choose their side. You know where that happened? Jezebel, with Naboth's vineyard. Ahab wanted that vineyard. Jezebel went out and got it, wrote it in a letter, gave it to some men, had them honor him, and then had two false witnesses come out and just basically say, he was cursing God and he was cursing the king, and they took him out and killed him. He didn't give an opportunity. He didn't get the opportunity to say anything. Anyone who will not give you an opportunity to speak your side of the story, because the Holy Spirit is your counselor and he will tell you things to come. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit is going to give you what to say. If people will not give you that avenue to be able to say, they're operating under that spirit. That's demonic. No court system in this world, especially in this nation, we got our balanced scales, would say, I'm going to listen to the plaintiff, the accuser of the brethren, and hand down a verdict. No one, without listening to the defendant. You got to listen to both sides. I talk about what I know because I was there. Saw it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. I don't go off of hearsay. If I go off of hearsay, if your ears are anointed, it'll stop right there. It won't come out of here. Why? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You got to be obedient to God. And most people aren't obedient to God. They're obedient to people. Whew. Huh? When you walk by faith, you got to be obedient to God. You can't be obedient to people because people will take you away from God. This is what the Lord wants for you. This is where the Lord is. This is where the Lord wants you. This is where people want to take you. That straight and narrow is always going to be a difficult road to walk. And there's going to be obstacles, but it ain't God who's putting the obstacles there. It's people that want to take you somewhere else. So they're trying to stop you. I said, all those who are in competition, they're trying to stop what God wants to do in your life. Guess what? Those obstacles aren't nothing. I said, they can't stop you. They cannot stop you. You just continue to keep yourself in love. Walk by faith and not by, if I'm obey God's word, if I'm obey him, I'm going to obey him, whether people like that or not, whether all those TikTok prophets, Instagram apostles. Why? They never got the other side of the story. You got to keep yourself in love. Verse 21, it says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And those who have accepted and those who obey God's commandments are the ones who truly love Jesus. You are the ones that really love Jesus when you love him and you obey him. In other words, some people would say keep. And keep basically just means to put into practice. You're putting into practice what he says. You know, in the scriptures, you know, people talk about ministry of reconciliation. We do reconcile with people when the Lord says so. But if the Lord also says, stay away from those people, stay away from them. Because that's in the word too in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. That in the last days that people will be lovers of self, Timothy. What? They will be lovers of self. They will be lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. Stay away from them. They'll be addicted to malicious slander. Stay away from them. But they don't want to come and talk to him. They don't want to go and talk to her. They don't want to do this and they don't want to do that. They don't want to come talk to me. Well, who's your focus on? You, not on God. Why are you worried about somebody not talking to you? That's not God's judgment. Maybe the Lord told them not to. Based upon 2 Timothy 3. Most people won't even consider that. Two cases. Everyone is different. So when you reconcile, he calls us to reconciliation, you reconcile. But if he calls you to be away with it because it's hurting your walk, stay away. And then you can come back when you're stronger, when he tells you to. Why? Because you're obeying his voice. You're obeying his commandments. We all live by the same word. Just to get a little personal, I said, I told an individual, I said, you're forgiven, but this relationship is over with. Now, I didn't do that in 21 hospital because it was disobedience to God. Hospital, I opened up the door. Second time I did it, I said, you're forgiven. But this relationship is over with. He goes, well, you're offended. I said, I'm not offended, man. I prayed about this for 2 years. I prayed about this for a long time. And then I said, I'm also done being a scapegoat for your family. You know, within 2 weeks, I felt that medication leave my body. Why? Obedience. Some people don't want you to be obedient. They had other plans for you. But God has plans for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And expect it in. Some people don't have that plan for you. And it doesn't matter how close they are to you. You've got to stand on business and understand you got to be obedient to God. But they don't like it. Tough. Kick rocks. This is not a popular thing to be obedient to God. Check out the disciples. Look at the life they lived. They were obedient to him. They got jailed. They were in prison. They were bringing hope to people who were lost in darkness. They didn't like it. And people didn't like it. Jesus, they crucified Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the anointed one who came, who is the hope of this world. And the thing about it is they crucified him as well. They wanted Barabbas. One day they're praising him, throwing palm branches on him. The next day they're crucifying him. Why? They were in disobedience. Yet the Savior was right in front of them. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up and say, Lord, forget that sacrifice. I'm just going to stay obedient to you. I'm going to stay obedient to God regardless if people cuss me out or not. Regardless if people say I'm lying. I'm going to stay obedient to him. I don't give a rip. I nearly lost my life by being disobedient. That ain't going to happen again. 2 weeks, literally laying on the couch. Just felt it like dissipate out of me. I was like, and I said, stood up, kind of sat up on the couch and I took a deep breath. And I was like, I ain't coughing anymore. And my health just went from that point on like this. Why? Obedience. It was delayed obedience, which is just disobedience. So you got to repent. Still pray for them. Still hope the best for them. But if the Lord says, stay away, I'm going to stay away. Regardless of him and his family don't like it, I'm going to stay away because that's best for me and my family. People don't want that other side of the story. They don't want the truth because they're too busy defending who's right rather than what is right. And they don't want to defend the word. Verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name. How would you like to be named Judas? In other cases, Judas was called Thaddeus and certain parts in the Bible as well, but this Judas was a brother of James. Said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Judas doesn't rebuke this man. Jesus does not rebuke Judas. This was a question about clarity, about what he was getting ready to do. In other cases, he had rebuked for you know, Thomas and Peter for their unbelief or what have you. But this wasn't one of those. He was doing it to clarify certain things. Why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Next verse, Jesus answers them. He replies, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. And here again, Jesus is pointing towards obedience to him. This is like the third time in just this short passage. He's pointing back to obedience. How important it is to be obedient to God. If your pastor, me, myself, tell you to do something that is contrary to what God's word says, don't do it. And you have my permission to call me out. I will never lead you to do something that is underhanded, undermining people, to lie, to push a narrative, all that. Never will I ever do that. Why? Because I want your good works to be shown by men and before men. I want to hear well done and my good and faithful servant for you too, not just for me. If I ever do something like that. And behind the scenes, I don't care if it's one-on-one, you have every permission to call me out, get up here and then call me out as well. Because I guarantee you, I'll never do that. Not a lot of ministers can say that, but I will say it because I don't give a rip. Because that's true accountability. You get ministers of the gospel that say they're accountable to other people, but here's the reality. After they're done, scandal. Well, what happened to all those men that were holding them accountable? It wasn't a covering, it was a cover up. I thank God for the men I have here that are holding me accountable, and they will tell me. I just don't have men here who are willing to control me because they're actually yielded to God, not to the devil. Come on. They're good men. We got good men on this board. They're not trying to control me. They're letting me flow. If you want to be picky about stuff, I said, go be picky somewhere else. But they will say certain things and what happened, they'll come and say, yeah, okay, I got that. It doesn't have to be this big old scandal. Why does everything have to be a scandal? Why? Because some people love chaos. They love drama. They love all that junk. Why? So they can control through it. That's their way in. The enemy will always look for a crack. They'll always look for a way in. And when you're going out doing dirt for other people, you don't realize it's opening up the door to the enemy in your life. That's why I will never do it. True shepherds protect. They don't just feed the flock. They protect the flock. They're not hiding behind the flock. Well, my kids, guess what? My kids got my back. But I won't dare have them to protect me. Because in order for them to protect me, that means that I was emotionally abusing them. I was taking advantage of them, giving them a sad story every single time something happened to me. There's a lot of things that were said to me, done to me, I never even told them. Why? Because I can bust somebody in the mouth if I need to. It's not that big a deal. David protected the sheep. He didn't say, go get them lion, get that lion. Go, I'm going to go and hide. Shepherds will go out in front and lead. That's what true shepherds do. They protect, they feed the flock, they take care of the sheep. So if somebody got a problem with one of y'all in here, they're going to have to go through me. Because I'll protect. And I ain't want to mess with. You don't want me on your bad side. Some people say my words are sharp. I said, they're supposed to be. Because the word of God is sharp than any double-edged sword. So they can say about 50,000 different things. I just need to say one word in one line, one sentence, and that'll shut that mess down. Verse 24. Come on now. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. Read that again. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my words. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Next verse. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's your advocate. And he will teach you things to come. He will share with you things that you need to know. In your everyday life, you can have a relationship with him. Draw on that. You don't have to wander around in life aimlessly and I just don't know. As a believer, you don't have to do that. You can literally sit down, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now that I'm not listening, that I'm not hearing in my spirit? What is it that you want me to do is just to get quiet? Do I need to just stop talking? Sometimes it's good to fast our opinion when we get before the Lord. You get before the Lord, oh, I'm praying, and everything else is that you're just complaining. We could just complain before God. Just sit and get still. Be still and know that he is God. Just get quiet. this next year, push to be in the presence of God more in your everyday life. Lord, how is it you want me to run my family? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to submit to more so? Who do I need to build up? Lord, I just want to give a word. I got an encouraging word for somebody, a word of encouragement, Lord. Who do I need to build up? Send me that way. Send me, Lord, I'll go. You make it your ambition to do the will of God. Not my will, not your will, his will. If you love him, you will obey his commandments. And if anybody is trying to give you a commandment that is outside of that, do away with it. You could tell them in a lovely way. I'm learning more and more how to say no in a nicer way rather than just mean mugging people. But it becomes easier and easier. Why? I want what God wants for me and my family. That's what I want. And if someone tries to come and offer this and it's all nice and wrapped up and packaged up, I don't want it. Why? Because I didn't ask for it. I don't know about you. I don't keep packages that come to my house that's not addressed to me. I hope you don't. Ooh, got some pots and pans. Didn't even order these. No, take that back to the post office. Return to sender. Why? Because if it isn't something that you've been asking the Lord for, then the enemy, I said, sometimes the enemy will come and just give you a lesser version of what you've been believing God for. And you end up settling for that. Want what he wants. What God may want for you is up here. What the enemy will offer and what people will offer is down here. And sometimes we just settle. Don't settle for that. Take what God wants for you. That's what I want. That's what I want for this city. That's what I want for this church. That's what I want for each and every individual in here. You settle for what you've been believing the Lord for. Well, you know, this person, this isn't who I've been praying about. You know, I was praying for somebody with a pretty smile, but they only got two teeth in their mouth, and I don't know. They're balding in the back, and they're only, you know, 18. You know, it's, hey, if that's not who you've been asking the Lord for, don't settle. That's a no. You're going to get some options. You know, sometimes when you go to dealerships and they try to show you certain things, and no, I don't want that. I know exactly what I want. Well, we got this option over here. Hey, this is what I want. And I'm going to get that. But it's not something that you're being covetous over. You can't want what somebody else has. Right? Because that would make us a friend of the world. And an enemy of God. So let's do what James 4:7 says. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In context, that's what it's talking about. People being covetous. Get ourselves submitted to the Lord. Amen? Be obedient. Walk by faith. It's not an easy road, but it can be easier when you just choose to focus on what God wants for you. So, if Pastor Tim comes to you or anybody else, anyone else, to have you do something that is contrary to the word, what are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell me? No. Shout it out. Even if you have to say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You know, that will wake some people up. Why? I want what's best for you. I want what God wants for you. I'm not God. Don't get that mixed up, but I am a child of God. I am an adopted son. I am joint heirs with Christ. I am who I am, says I am, but I am not the Father. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So can you. So don't just be resting on me. You rest in his word and his promises and his redemption. Not me. But Pastor Tim said this. Pastor Tim didn't write the Bible. Man who walked with Jesus did. Men who knew God did. Men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They wrote the Bible. I didn't write the Bible. So don't go off of what I said. Go off of what the Lord is telling you. Obey. If you love him, you will obey him. Obey the Lord at all times. Don't just bless the Lord. Obey the Lord and his commandments. Amen? Let's go. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your commandments. And Lord, we just pray for those that may have been offended by this message. We believe that you will help them in that way because we don't retract or backtrack on anything that you have given us to say, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for the hearts and minds here, Lord. We thank you for going into a new year, bold and courageous for you, that we are living our lives for you, not for ourselves. And help this church and this community store more treasures for ourselves in heaven, not here on earth. And we thank you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I got one thing. I said we did this last week for one of my sons, and we got another son. Kristen and I didn't plan this out very well. We got another son that's in December, and but God planned it. Isaiah's birthday, he is 28. Let's bless him, shall we? Come on up here, young man. He and his wife, Carly, they help our youth. He does college ministry as well. And I'm believing that the Lord will have him out here full time, but I mean, he's still working at UPS, so he does both. So let's bless him. Amen. Come on up, and you're able to go. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.